It's time for the weekly edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Tips to help you grow, protect, and conserve your wealth for generations to come.
The following is a rebroadcast of an earlier program.
Good morning and welcome to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, here with financial news and analysis and strategies to help you protect your wealth and the legacy you'll leave behind. Thanks for being with us this morning. We've got a lot on the docket this morning, Scott. I've got some complexity theory I want to lay on you today. I want to simplify complexity theory for you. How's that for a good topic on a...
I would appreciate that. I really would.
I mean, who wouldn't? Exactly. Who wouldn't want complexity theory simplified, really? And to help us with that, of course, is going to be our friend Jared Wicks from our Lafayette office. Jared, welcome to the show this morning as well.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
So this is right up your alley, being the very erudite and educated academic financial expert that you are over there, Jared. So we're going to be drawing on your expertise quite a bit this morning. But what I'm talking about is an interesting concept I came across this week. You know, our friend John Malden, the big the financial blogger, he's got some really good insights and pulled some resources together in a way that explains some of the things that we've been talking about that have felt really kind of intuitive to us, but really this kind of gives some real meat to why we've been preparing for and investing the way we have been in the markets for the next great reset, right? We know it's coming. Markets haven't changed. Business cycle hasn't changed. Credit cycles are what they are. And now that we're a week or two hence of the anniversary of the longest bull market in the history of bull markets, I want to put some teeth into this theory of ours that you should participate and protect, if you will. You know, you should be in the market because you want to take advantage of opportunities, but you got to protect, you got to be prudent about it, and that the ubiquitous buy and hold attitude it will fail you like it did in the last market downturn, and maybe in a bigger way based on some of the things we're going to talk about here this morning in this complexity theory. Think, just to give you a sneak peek, avalanches and the way they occur. You know, it's one snowflake after a time piles up until all of a sudden it's so unstable that the whole thing comes crashing down. So it's an interesting concept, and it's a mathematical concept. Actually, it was done, some physicists did some research on it, but it applies across all systems, not the least of which being economic and market systems. So I found it very fascinating. And we're going to delve into that some this morning. If you're out there listening this morning and you've got investments in this market and you're hoping that they're going to continue to go up, even in the midst of all-time highs, but you still got that nagging question in the back of your mind that maybe this time is going to be the same as the last time, and it probably will, but when is the question, then you probably don't have a balanced, protected risk management-oriented portfolio that would help you avoid that nagging question in the back of your mind. And if you're interested in learning more about that, stick with us this morning. But also, if you've got a scoot, give us a call at the Kennedy Wealth Group in one of our offices to get yourself a second opinion and get a stress test on what you have and help you understand how you can avoid what happened to you in your portfolio in the 2007 through 2009 meltdown, as well as back in the 2000 to 2002 timeframe. It's important. It's critically important, particularly if you're, Scott, looking at retirement here in the near future, or you have retired. You better be protecting that stuff.
Right. It's like you've always said, if you're in that window of 5 years to retirement or 5 years after, it's a very critical time for you to make sure that you get the most out of your retirement savings, to not just accumulate, but to plan ahead and what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, Jared, that's the retirement red zone Scott refers to, and that's a critical time frame that you shouldn't make mistakes in.
Well, one of the things we're going to be talking about today is randomness versus patterns. And there is a little bit of randomness in most things that we'll be talking about, economics and financial planning. We set up you know, an individual's retirement plan, but a little bit of randomness there, especially in those early years, right around the time you take retirement, can throw off some of the best financial planning. So that's why we talk about that red zone. That's when it is critical to get the planning out there, but also provide for a little bit of flexibility should, you know, something hit the fan.
Well, and change happens rapidly. And that's why that's so critical in that time frame. You know, you look at the 2007 to 2009 meltdown from October of 07 to March of 09, 18 months roughly. The S&P was off 50%. That's a lot in a hurry. But that didn't just come out of nowhere. There were things that were put in place slowly over time. Reminds me of the quote from Ernest Hemingway's book, The Sun Also Rises. One character asked the other, you know, how'd you go bankrupt? And the answer was two ways, gradually, and then suddenly.
Yeah.
So...
And that's a good point that you make, because most people, when they think back to that, they always think about like about September 15th, about mid-September of 2008 is when it really got their attention.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in you and Jared, you know, with your view, this was coming down the road a lot longer before mid-September.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so referring to some of John Malden's work this week that was really helped me get my brain around something concrete in these feelings I'm having about, hey, we should be more cautious and so forth. He says, you know, change happens quickly and often unpredictably. The unpredictable part is actually a mathematical principle, as in the Hemingway quote, you know, not just bankruptcy, but change also happens slowly, then seemingly all at once. Now, here's the interesting part about that, because it continues by saying it's time passing without change that causes the worst problems, including some historic economic catastrophes. You know, he says it turns out we shouldn't just accept change, that we should actually require it. Now, I want to put that give an analogy that will help people understand what that was. That was kind of a mouthful. But... you know, if you've ever been out west in the mountains in the wintertime, and you know, you every once in a while you hear a boom in the distance because, well, that says it's the ski patrol setting off charges to set many avalanches in motion, right? Because every mm-hmm. once in a while they want to knock off this pile or break down another and keep it from just building and building and building into one huge unstable avalanche. Potential that ends up doing a lot of damage. Also think, I guess, you know, the wildfires out in California, they've in recent years failed to do small controlled burns, all in the name of long-term safety, all only to create a massive burn that nobody can control. And that's what we're talking about in the markets here, is we've said many times, central banks around the globe, including our own Fed, have artificially, Jared, they've artificially propped up these markets, you know, in the name of doing good things for the market and the participants in the market. But over the long term, that ends up creating more instability. There's a theory by the name from a guy by the name of Dr. Hyman Minsky, M-I-N-S-K-Y, that he points out that stability leads to instability. Now, think about it for a second, and it makes sense, Jared. I mean, the more comfortable we get with a given condition or trend, the longer it will persist. And then when the trend fails, the more dramatic the correction.
And that's what the data has shown so far. I hate to spread the analogies too thin here, but think of like a dormant volcano. There's pressure building up underneath there. And the longer that it builds up, the greater that explosion is going to be, you know, when it finally reaches that tipping point. Or if you want to think of the fires out in California, the longer they go without these smaller controlled burns, sure, the spotted owls or whatever out there are probably happier short term, but all of that tinder getting ready for the big one. And that's what we're seeing out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with long-term macroeconomic stability, if you want to look at it that way in terms of the markets, is that it tends to produce unstable financial arrangements. I mean, if we believe tomorrow and next year and the next is going to be the same as last week and last year, then we're more willing to add debt. We're more willing to put off savings in favor of current consumption or take risks that we really probably shouldn't, because we think, oh, it's going to go on forever, it's going to be okay. And Professor Minsky says the longer the period of stability, the higher the potential risk for even greater instability, which is what we've been saying here. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And when market participants change their behavior, it happens rapidly. It unravels quickly. When you look at in terms of investors now putting a lot of money in their in high risk, frankly, junk bonds. I mean, right now they're called high yield bonds because they're going up and doing well. But when they fall out of bed, they're called junk bonds. It's the same investment, but you know what I mean. They're going to want to get out of that in a hurry. They're going to want to flee for the doors. But just like in 2007, they're not going to be able to sell like they think they're going to be able to. They think this liquidity will be there forever, that there will be buyers. And they're half right. There will be buyers, Jared, just not at prices they would like to sell at. So there's going to be a lot of pain. Now, we will be buying into that bloodbath. And that's what you want to be doing. If you want to make money long term, you got to be able to do what Sir John Templeton said, and that's buy when others are selling and sell when others are buying. So you're going to need a sell discipline in order to buy low and sell high. And we'll talk more about that as we go along this morning on Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Lots more to come on this morning. I want to dig into this because this will help you understand the why behind the thinking that we have here at Legacy Living Financial Strategies, that you should participate but protect when it comes to your portfolio. Stick with us. We'll be right back on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Good morning and welcome back to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I am your host, Jeff Kennedy. Hey, if you haven't yet started taking a look at your tax planning for retirement, if you've been putting it off, we've been talking about it here for a while on the show. We got a great gift back in at the end of 2017, and we've been doing lots of planning with our clients and folks coming in the office wanting to learn about this, to take advantage of this opportunity to pay your taxes for pennies on the dollar compared to what you used to be able to, and get yourself in position to be in the 0% tax bracket in retirement. This is a critically important concept. It's important for you to act on that and get yourself prepared for, Scott, what I think is going to be a lot of painful, unintended consequences for folks who are saving for retirement in vehicles like IRAs and 401ks, and they're postponing that tax burden until someday down the future. It's going to be, I think, higher based on debt and demographics. I mean, $21 trillion plus in the national debt and all these unfunded liabilities. Taxes almost have to get up, and that's a big old fat juicy target, those qualified accounts.
Yeah, we've talked about that before, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you're if you're going to do it, I mean, why not do some of it now while eventually getting yourself to that zero tax bracket that you've also talked about in the past, too? So,
well, yeah, I mean, eating that elephant there is, while it's become more palatable with this tax law change, it's still better smaller spoonfuls at a time. And so the sooner the better. We know in 2026 tax law reverts, if not before then. Who knows what's going to go on in the midterm elections this year or in 2020 in a couple of years. So you should be considering making some hay while the sun shines on this tax deal. Give us a call at the at Kennedy Wealth Group if you'd like to learn about how to do that and get yourself to the 0% tax bracket. The number at the office is 217-221-1300, 217-221-1300, or check us out on the web at Kennedy Wealth Group. Call us up and get a copy of the book, The Power of Zero, when you come in for that free, no-obligation consultation. Again, 217-221-1300. So guys, let's get back to this conversation about the complexity theory. I find it interesting, Jared, these three physicists back in 1987 actually did a study on sand piles and their stability or lack thereof. And avalanches in general, you know, like what causes them? How are they created and so forth? What's the typical size of an avalanche? You know, how many numbers of grains of sand or whatever? And what they found was what you were saying last segment, Jared, that there's really quite a bit of randomness to it. In fact, it's completely chaotic in its unpredictability. It's hard to say what's going to be the final straw, so to speak, or the grain that causes the avalanche, but it's the building up of that pile that is predictable, while the maybe the last event that causes it to all come down isn't as much.
Right, predictability was their measurable goal that they were hoping for when they ran this experiment. As the results indicated, there was not a whole lot of predictability, although the randomness in the patterns is what they draw from it. Just to give listeners a little insight there, what they did is just imagine dropping one grain of sand in the same spot over and over and over again until, you know, you get a mountain here, and at some point that last grain of sand is going to cause some sort of essentially avalanche. You know, whether it collapses the whole pile or just one side a little bit, that's really what the study was looking into, and that's the data that they were able to pull out of it and try to compare, you know, use that data and the results to, you know, compare to other things in our lives, you know, such as the financial markets.
Yeah, no, so Scott, these guys didn't actually drop grains of sand. They actually did a computer model of this thing. And after the first findings, when they said, well, it's pretty random, it's not real predictable the way the pile builds up or when it comes apart necessarily. But what they found, they were able to get some more insight into on the why by adding color to the pile. If it's stable, it was green, and red was unstable, obviously, but that instability began to create some patterns. And so you could tell if a grain of sand was going to fell on one of those red spots or red streaks, if it became a big fissure, if you will, in the sand pile, that was more likely to create the avalanche than if it fell on a stable piece. But there was a domino effect, kind of, as this pile got bigger, that it became more intertwined, mm-hmm, and interwoven, and think. So global macroeconomics, we're talking all how small the world has become in the digital age with all these algorithms and the trading that goes on with that. And the machines are doing more trading than humans are, and the dominoes that can fall and how this thing can unravel really quickly. But for a long time seemed like there's no problem. It's sunshine and roses until it's not. And so, you know, as long as those red dots that are unstable weren't connected, it was a pretty stable pile. But when they got more and more connected, it became a problem. And it would reach what's called a critical state, right? This is like where water turns to ice or, mm-hmm, steam or whatever. It's when that next bit of energy changes the state of it, or the next bit of disturbance or whatever changes the state of that particular substance or whatever. And so they wanted to know, does this apply to other areas of our life, like natural disasters and you know, like hurricanes or markets or traffic jams or whatever? And they said that absolutely they felt that it did. There was a common randomness, if you will, but that it was something that you could be on the lookout for and prepare for, as opposed to just keep doing what you're doing until boom, it all comes apart. Then you start doing it again. It's like
right. The
sheep out there on the hillside, just getting fat and get shorn every once in a while, and then they freak out and go, well, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while they get okay, they get calmed down, and then they get back out there and get fat and happy again, and then they get shorn again, and this is what investors keep doing. And at Kennedy Wealth Group, we're trying to bring more predictability, more stability, more risk mitigation to portfolios that will help people avoid those situations. Not only that, Jared, not only avoid the situations, but take advantage of them.
Sure. When something terrible happens in the capital markets, and we witness investors, you know, losing life savings, companies going under, it's sad, but it is a state of affairs that we have grown to accept. It's going to happen to us. So why not be prepared yourself? Why not protect yourself and your family? And if someone is going to be able to come in with cash and, you know, buy up all these stocks and other securities for pennies on the dollar, you know, why shouldn't it be you? There's no reason to feel bad for that. Your responsibility is to yourself, your family, your company, et cetera. And these opportunities will present themselves, but like you started off saying at the beginning of the show, you don't know when it's going to happen. You have to be prepared. And the preparation, like we talked about, is having cash when you get down to it. You have to be able to have cash to buy when the securities go on sale. And where's that pile of cash going to come from? Are you going to hit the lottery at the same time the market crashes? Or are you going to be one of the few that are prepared and have, you know, done your due diligence, done a good job of buying low and indeed selling high?
We're talking this morning on Legacy Living Financial Strategies about this complexity theory. And, Scott, I find it really interesting how this applies across all kinds of different systems. You know, they say in this book about complexity theory, the peculiar and exceptionally unstable organization of the critical state, that is, that critical mass or whatever, does indeed seem to be ubiquitous in our world. In other words, we see these systems throughout in various things. You know, earthquakes and eco disasters and market crashes, as well as like the spreading of epidemics, the flare up of traffic jams. I mean, you think about that. Traffic's all going. I used to live out in Colorado, and that corridor up I-70 up the mountain, or coming down the hill on Sunday after everybody's been skiing all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody could be rolling along here at 70 miles an hour or whatever. One person just taps their brakes once, and then all of a sudden, boom, the traffic jam ensues. These guys are saying this applies to markets as well, and we saw that as everything unraveled in 2007 quickly. You know, you get once the pile of financial transactions, be they subprime mortgages or student loan or housing crisis or whatever it might be, once that all gets to that critical state, there's just one more grain of sand random. Doesn't even have to be related to that, but that can set off the whole thing sliding, and then it becomes kind of uncontrollable because all of these fingers of instability have been woven together, and that one fissure leads to another in this big domino effect, and down it goes. And so you've got to be prepared to prevent that in your portfolio. And again, that's what we focus on when we build these holistic strategies that involve more than just stocks and bonds. You got to be able to add in things from the adult menu of investments, if you will, including things like what Yale and other endowments use to provide that stability. Some good hard assets, good real estate that produces income. Even though the value of the real estate might go down at it for a time, there's still good income being produced, or things that are even further uncorrelated, like the life settlement market, as we've mentioned that asset class before. That's something that, you know, again, you've got company out there that buys life insurance policies from the seniors of America that no longer want them or need them. There's nothing nefarious about it. It's a good thing. It helps them get money that out of an asset that they think is dead to them anyway. But as a result, as an investor, you can be involved in that and make good interest and on that in your retirement that is uncorrelated in any way to stocks, bonds, markets, interest rates, whatever might happen. So using all the tools that are available to you, it's important to do that. And if you want to build a good diversified, truly diversified and risk-averse portfolio, if you'd like to get some information on how to do that, call us at 217-221-1300. Here in Quincy, 221-1300, or on the web at KennedyWealthGroup.com. You can reach out to us. You can learn more about us there and reach out for that free, no-obligation consultation. We'll be right back after this commercial break. You're listening to Legacy Living Financial Strategies on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Good morning. Welcome back to the second half of Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy. We're here each and every week with news and analysis and strategies to help you protect your wealth and the legacy you'll leave behind. Guys, I know we've been digging into some kind of esoteric thinking theories and so forth this morning, but I think it's really applicable to our current market situations. It's, again, Jeff and Scott and Jared here with you this morning just discussing complexity theory as it relates to where we stand in the market, kind of putting some structure to the thinking, the thought processes we've had here on the show and in our conference rooms and the various Kennedy Wealth Group offices about participate and protect. That's kind of our mantra. You know, you want to be able to be in there, but protect, just letting the bulls run, or running with the bulls. And actually, it's kind of interesting that we referred at the beginning of the show to the sun also rises. That was about the running with the bulls. So, I mean, so there you go. You know, it's all tied in together. If you just do that, you might get trampled, and it's fun for a while until it's not. And that applies exactly to these markets. And as a summary, if you're just joining us this morning, this complexity theory talks about kind of the randomness you look at an avalanche and you go, wow, that must have been obvious, but it wasn't really, because it happened a little bit at a time, some snow this day and that and the other, and it builds up. And if you don't manage that, you know, by setting some charges and knocking down some of those things, or if you use the wildfire analogy, setting some controlled burns here and there to avoid the big one that you can't control, then you get into some real problems and in a hurry. And this Dr. Hyman Minsky points out that stability leads to instability. I think that's one of the big takeaways from this talk and this topic this morning is don't get complacent. You know, jobs number comes out, says we got lower unemployment than last month, and we got more participation. Well, actually, this month, I guess, the labor participation rate shrunk a little bit after it had begun growing back. But nonetheless, good economic news, earnings good, all that kind of stuff. Don't get too complacent in the midst of that. He says the more comfortable we get with a given condition or trend, the longer it will persist. And when the trend fails, the more dramatic the correction. He says the longer the period of stability, the higher the potential risk for even greater instability when market participants must change their behavior. because they will. And so it becomes kind of this stable disequilibrium, if you will. You've got players from the game of in macroeconomics and markets from all over the world tied inextricably together in a vast dance through investment, debt, derivatives. And you got trade, globalization, international business, finance. All these things are all interwoven across the globe nowadays. And each and every player in that, each you as an investor out there, the people at Yale, the institutions, the big banks, every single player works hard to maximize their own personal outcome and reduce exposure to these fingers of instability. But the longer the game runs, the more likely it is to end in a violent avalanche, if you will. You know, because these fissures, these fingers of instability have more time to build, and eventually the state of stable disequilibrium goes critical on us. In other words, it goes, you know, the sand pile comes apart or the avalanche begins. And so it's interesting, John Malden in his blog last week, his newsletter, Thoughts from the Front Lines. I encourage you to go get that if you don't have it already. Go out if you're a student of the game and you want to protect what you've been working for all these years and saving and investing for. John Malden's insights are very helpful. That's Thoughts from the Front Lines. Malden, M-A-U-L-D-I-N. Just Google that and you can. That's a resource he provides for free. He has some subscription services you can use, but I would suggest that you do that and read that. But he referred back to a letter he wrote in 2007 when he said, you know, the fingers of instability, so to speak, had not created the Great Recession just yet, but you can certainly see red dots all in the sand pile, so to speak. You could see that there were some areas of instability. Most notably, he says, subprime debt was the biggest of those red spots. But there were literally hundreds of dots scattered throughout the world economy, most of them innocuous until they weren't. And then the scramble for liquidity began, and he says, except the liquidity wasn't there. And, well, you know the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking earlier, and we spoke of this on the show earlier this year about the credit-driven train wreck that John is pointing to that may be that grain of sand that sets off the next great reset. He says, you know, which sand pile will fall first? It could be many. It's hard to say. But I think, this is John Malden speaking, I think high-yield corporate debt is most likely. And Jared, he says, millions of investors think they can collect those juicy yields and then be able to sell when trouble appears, and they're half right.
Well, investors have definitely become complacent taking on these yields, maybe forgetting or not even realizing at first how much risk they are indeed taking to get these yields, because I mean, 5-7% doesn't seem like a huge amount, except when you look at what the safe money is paying, what's your money market paying, what's a 6-month CD paying, not a whole lot. 5-7% is a pretty decent amount. And just like we've been talking about all morning, investors have gotten accustomed to taking on this risk, whether they realize it or not, and being rewarded for it. When the time comes where it's time for the risk to step in and less of the reward, it's going to be everyone trying to, you know, run out the doorway at the same time. And if your plan is to sell as everyone else is selling, you're right, you're not going to get those prices back. You're going to lose a lot of principal. And on the way to losing principal, you're going to have less buying power, you know, when we hit the bottom and it's time to stop selling and start buying again.
So just to kind of put a bow on this whole discussion about the instability theory or the or what they call the complexity theory, this Professor Minsky says, you know, again, stability breeds instability. The sand pile program that those professors of physics worked out in 1987, you know, and their sand pile program, as simple as it kind of seems, it seems simplistic, but it has some big implications. And it shows that the longer that the stability lasts, with the fingers of instability connecting in hidden and unknown ways, the greater the avalanche will be. And the big takeaway is, you know, these economic sand piles that do have these many small avalanches never have really large fingers of instability and massive avalanches. But and if they don't have these smaller ones, the big one is going to be very, very painful. You know, so the more small economic unpleasant events you're allowed to have, allows to happen, the fewer large and eventually massive fingers build up. And so don't get so complacent because you think, well, they've fixed it. Now they know the recipe to prevent. You know, I think back to what Ben Bernanke said in 2007, I think it was, there's nothing to see here, but essentially was his message. Everything's great. There's no bubble, I think he even said. And, you know, and it wasn't too long, Scott, before that thing went.
Yes.
I can't make a popping sound, but there we go. See, that's it. And, you know, when you look at the efforts of regulators and central bankers to create stable systems and prevent small losses that need to happen, they actually create larger fingers of instability and bring down the whole system and spark global recessions. And increasingly, it is the unfunded liability of government promises and that will be the most massively unstable finger. And I would say if you also add in demographics and what that will do, we're going to be it's going to be an interesting time, and you need to be prepared for that time if you want to be able to survive and thrive actually through that, which means you need a cell discipline, you need a plan, and a way to take advantage of it. We can help you do that at Kennedy Wealth Group if you give us a call, 217-221-1300. You want to learn more about this and how you can be protected and participate at the same time, we'd be happy to help. 217-221-1300. One more segment when we come back here on Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Stick with us. Good morning. Welcome back to the final segment of Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, Scott Hardy, and Jared Wicks alongside with you this morning, helping you preserve your wealth and protect the legacy that you will leave behind. We've talked a lot this morning about this concept of complexity theory and how it relates to markets and kind of gives us some understanding of why things happen. While they may seem random, and there are certainly parts of it that are random, that you can see patterns is kind of the point, Scott, Jared. I want to make sure that people take away from this. There are patterns that can be seen. The timing is a little bit difficult. You know, it's we go back and look at that model, that computer model from 30-plus years ago that the physicists did on the sand piles and avalanches and what causes them, and we cannot accurately predict when the avalanche will happen. We know it will eventually. If it goes on long enough, we know it's going to happen. Hard to predict when, though. And so you can miss out on all sorts of opportunities if you're bearish and you just, you know, you see all these fingers of instability and it freezes you. And, you know, we know there's a lot of people who've been in cash for much of this bull market because they got burned twice last decade and they were afraid. So you can miss out a lot in that regard if you ignore the base of stability. But if you are complacent, you can lose it all at once because you ignored the fingers of instability. And there are strategies, Jared, that we can use to help avoid those two things that I just described.
Right. Even though we spent the morning talking about the signs of, you know, trying to see what's going on in the underlying economy that could potentially cause a collapse. We're not saying that's going to happen tomorrow. We're saying be prepared. That's why your investment portfolio needs to be positioned to participate in the gains as they happen, but it also needs to be prepared to protect itself from substantial losses whenever they come. Buying into stock index funds, like a lot of people have been doing, is not going to be adequate, because if you don't have a system in place, those index funds are going to go down just like everybody else's. John Mulvey says, don't get caught in the buy and hold traditional 60-40 portfolio. He says, don't walk away from it, run away. He says to be cautiously optimistic, because it's always a long-term winner. Buying and holding, or buying and hope, as we call it, is, you know, it's neither cautious nor optimistic.
Yeah, buy and hope. Hope is a virtue, Scott, but it's not really a strategy. So
they don't teach that in school.
Buy and hope, or buy and
just buy and hope, or any, you know, applying hope to financial theory.
I want to wrap up the show today, guys, just referring to some stuff that Steve Blumenthal wrote this week. He pulled up some stuff from the archives in Barron's magazine, you know, one of the market publications that a lot of folks read. And there was this pull quote from Barron's in March of 2000. The best insurance policy against missing big market moves is to have more than one online brokerage account. And they were talking about this problem that people are having getting their buy orders in, because the market was moving away from them so fast they couldn't get into it fast enough. And in Barron's in 2007, again, at another market top, they say, when we look at the charts of major market indexes, we see breakouts across the board, and that's a good sign. But the ranks of stock pushing indexes higher have thinned somewhat, and while not a reason to hit the sell button on its own, it is something to monitor. And it goes on to describe the huge weekly gains that the S&P and NASDAQ and Russell 2000, the small cap index, had achieved that particular week in September of 2007. And they conclude, whether such optimism will be rewarded remains to be seen. And Steve's commentary, Steve Blumenthal, followed up with, it did not get rewarded. Yeah, stocks peaked 1 month later in October of 2007, and what followed was the great financial crisis. Now, here's what was going on during that time, guys. These charts also very instructive, because, you know, here's some real meat to our theory, okay? Because it's just simply supply and demand. When there's more buyers than sellers, then the prices go up. When there's more sellers than buyers, the prices go down. And so you have to, once all the buyers are in, then there's not any more buyers. Is that a yogiism?
Yeah, but it makes sense.
So what is all the buyers being in mean? I'm looking at a chart here that shows the percentage of household ownership of stocks, equities, okay? Back in the year 2000, that number sat at, and this is just going to be a basis of reference for you, 63.65%, all right? Year 2000 peak, 63.65% of household money, you know, discretionary money, was invested in stocks. Then the crash to 2002, then the bull market back up to the peak in 2007, when that number was again 63.17%. Okay, so this is the this is the ceiling. This is the glass ceiling, essentially, if you will. 63% and change is of stock ownership in retail investors' portfolios is kind of the glass ceiling. Where we sit today, 63.99, almost ready to crack 64% stock ownership in portfolios. And what this chart also shows is the amount of cash that was a part of the portfolio in 2000 and in 2007, there were healthy amounts of cash in the 23 to 25% range. You know, some powder on the sideline, and not a lot in bonds, more like in the 12 to 15% range in the bond allocations. Okay. Today, bond allocations are north of 20%, 22 some odd percent, and cash is around 15. It's at an all-time low. So what all that means is, and Jared, you can chime in if you got something here, but there's not a lot of buyers left. There's some foreign money that's flowing into it, but as far as U.S. buyers, they're pretty much all in.
Yeah, right. What that means, Jeff, you know, dumb it down for people like me, if I get it right, is what moves stock market up is people using cash, moving it into stocks, buying stocks. And it looks like all that cash has already moved into stocks. So what is the natural way for these numbers to regress to the mean? Stocks are going to have to be converted into cash. And how do you do that? You sell. People are going to have to sell a lot of stocks to come back to the mean. And here, do you want to be one of the last people to do it, or do you want to be one of the first? Right. And again, we're not saying get out there, sell all of your stocks. No. But one, be prepared for it. Have a system that can do that for you without you having to make that difficult personal subjective call. And two, keep that money working for you, but find a way that it's not going to necessarily be dependent upon the steady inflow of cash, because as we know, the central banks are starting to cut that off.
Yeah, as the great John Templeton said, you make your money if you can buy when others are selling, and you sell when others are buying. And right now, everyone else is bought in. And so, to your point, Jared, you know, do you want to be the last one holding the bag? Do you want to be left standing when the music stops? Probably not. You know, in our portfolio, Scott, we're not all cash at the moment by any means, but we are starting to build some cash positions. Cash is a position in your portfolio, and you should be preparing now for that to get some powder dry for the opportunity that's going to come. And from, you know, we're running out of time, but the chart shows some real big potential in the near future. If you'd like to learn about how to be a part of the folks that are on the right side of the Great Reset, give us a call at Kennedy Wealth Group, 217-221-1300. That's in Quincy, 221-1300. We'll help you get that figured out, set up that free, no-obligation consultation. We'll talk to you next week right here on Legacy Living Financial Strategies.
Join us next week for another edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Every Wednesday at 8:50 and Saturdays at 9. Right here on Talk Radio 930, WTAD.
Registered rep, broker, dealer, Center Street Securities. Member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services through Center Street Advisors and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Kennedy Wealth Group and CSA are independent of CSS.